Sherry Drew, she's an author, a businesswoman, and a religious leader. She writes, is more than bearing children, though it is certainly that. It is the essence of who we are as women. It defines our very identity, our divine stature and nature, and the unique traits our Father gave us. I truly believe that any woman, with or without children, young, middle-aged, or older, all of us have been fashioned with this unique nature by our Creator. And men, lest you think this message is only for women, you better listen up, because there's something here for you as well. Let's go ahead and pray again. Just ask that you, your understanding, Lord. I just ask that you give us your ears to hear, your eyes to see, and your hearts to understand, Lord, that we can understand what you have done for us and how you love us. We ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I have a question for you. My first question of the morning. Can someone tell me what is the defining characteristic of a mother's love? Or what is the defining characteristic of a mother? Maybe I should like that. Say it again. She gave birth. Okay, that could be one. A defining thing. If you think about a mother, what's something that defines her? Unconditional love. Unconditional love. That's kind of what I was thinking. Somebody would say love, loving, unconditional love. All right, here's my follow-up question. What is love? Real love. Patience, understanding, kindness. That's a great start. What else would you think love is? Grace. So did you know that grace is not getting what you deserve? That's grace. So I think that's a good thing. I think sometimes moms do that. We give grace, right? Forgiveness. Selflessness. One more. Patience. Okay, so we had a lot of really good words for what is love, real love. So when I first felt like God was asking me to speak about love for Mother's Day, I thought, this will be easy, right? I can give this nice message on a central characteristic of mothers. Great. How many of you know that when God asks you to do something, you have to study it out, right? You have to wrestle through it. I was completely unprepared for God to use my studying to speak a very clear, direct message to the depths of my heart. What I heard shocked me. It kind of discouraged me. It amazed me. I had lots of feelings with that. So I began this heated fellowship with God. All right, God, well, maybe I didn't hear you right. Are you sure this is the right topic? It is? Okay. Well, maybe you should have Lady X, Y, or Z give that message instead of me. No? But why? You heard that in your house? Whining, complaining, arguing? Didn't get me in the right direction either. So I had to figure this out, right? Did you know it's pointless to debate with God on the things that he knows better than any human? So I've always heard it said that bankers, they use all their senses, like their smell, their touch, their sight. They study real money, right? So that when counterfeit money comes through, they know what it is. As a nurse, if I wanted to learn to assess lung sounds, I had to listen to lots and lots of lungs. That's how I could figure out what a normal lung sound sounded like, right? So after a while, I could say, that's not normal. And after I got a little bit better and I got my skills a little bit more, I could say, oh, well, that sounds like asthma. All skills in life take repeated exposure and practice to gain expertise. Even this little thing called love. Sounds really simple, right? We threw out some words. We know what love is. But I found out that I'm really a novice in how I understand and practice love. I thought I knew what love was. After all, I found a man who wanted to marry me. 16 years later, he's still married to me. You know, and I also gave birth to 5 amazing miracles. You know what else? I've been privileged to love and serve a God who has been faithfully loved me through all of this crazy that I call my life. He's been there through everything, good, bad, in between. I know that God loves me because this is what I read in the Bible. Okay, so John 3:1 is the first verse. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Seems like a really common sense thing, right? A child will be loved by his or her parents. This is certainly true of God our Father. In verse 16, now this is 1 John 3:16, okay? It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. I think that when it says brothers and sisters, it could also mean children, sons, daughters, husbands. One more verse. John 15:9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Okay, so I think I know a little bit about what love is. I might even be doing a pretty good job of showing it. You know, that never-ending list of things that mothers and women do all the time. Cooking, cleaning, washing, driving, bandaging, singing, teaching, hugging, kissing. You know, as a young girl, I dreamed of the perfect man and perfect children and the happily ever after life. How long does it take before this picture of perfect start looking different? Feeling different than what we imagined? My opinion, I started off pretty good. Joey and I had been married about 3 years and we had successful careers before Christy came along. I was the fun mom of one little girl. I was attentive and caring. You know, she couldn't even sneeze and I would have known, right? Didn't get angry very easy. We read Bible stories every night and we prayed together. She was dedicated to the Lord on Father's Day. She was only like about a month old. I was eager to teach her about God and his love for her. I was delighted when she was quoting like whole passages of scriptures when she was 3. Well, fast forward 10 years. One little girl turned into a teenager. My family circus has added 2 more girls and 2 more boys. They're all unique, challenging, different. How about me? Was I still the fun mom? With enjoying the perfect family? Not really. I think probably the time frame is different for every person. You're a man or a woman. But eventually, the truth begins to show up. There's nobody perfect. Not even one, it says in the Bible. Not one perfect. And did you know that imperfect people lead to imperfect families? So one of the sobering things that I heard from God was this question. Are you really loving those closest to you? Like really loving those people that are right in your house? So like a child, I kind of gave the defensive quick answer. Well, of course, I love my family. And then I had to sit and think a little bit longer. Because, you know, when God asks you a question, you better think about it. It's just like when we ask our children a question, right? We want them to think about it. So I had to think about it. I am pretty good at loving people in my life, right? Especially those outside my home. That's a little easier, right? But inside my home, it was feeling a little tense, a little unsettled. Kids whining, fussing, bickering. Moms frowning, cross, impatient. And again, I heard this question. Is this real unconditional love? Is this the love of Jesus? That's a pretty tough question. I think I knew the answer. So isn't it funny how the world talks about love all the time? Haven't you heard it? I just love that car. You know, I kind of love that football player. I really like chocolate cake. Maybe Dove chocolate. Maybe that's better. I really love my job. If you watch any TV at all, listen to any music, they all have plenty to say about love. But have you listened to what they really say? Have you heard them say, you know what? I'll love you when you love me. How about if the football team loses, do you still love that player just as much? What if they really screwed up and lost the game? Do you still love them? I don't know. I think I'd call this imitation love. Conditional. You know, it's there when the conditions are right. So how about in my house? I kind of noticed a few things about myself. When my children were successful, obedient, quiet, cooperative. I was kind and gentle and encouraging. But when they were loud, disobedient, irresponsible, and otherwise inconvenient, I could be pretty harsh, critical, unkind. When my expectations didn't get met, I got angry, kind of loud, frowning, and irritable. This is where it gets tough. I started feeling pretty discouraged. My assessment skills to work, I would have said, well, this isn't normal. Got that part down. Have you ever heard people say that love is what makes the world go round? Well, the world's spinning, but I'm not sure if that's what they were talking about. As a nurse, when I question an assessment, I go to Sheehy's Manual of Emergency Care. But as a Christian mom, I have to go to God's manual, the Bible. You remember one of the first verses you learned as a child? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world, gave one and only Son, that whoever but have, you might not have the verse, but it goes like this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, some of you, probably like me, wanted to quote that in the King James, right? Because this is a little harder to do it. But remember that, one of our first verses. And it talks about love. The next thing that I thought of when it comes to love is found in 1 Corinthians 13, and it's called the Love Chapter. I was thinking about reading this to you, the whole thing, but in the interest of time, I'm going to give this to you as a homework assignment, okay? I'm just going to read a little part of it. Kind of the gist of 1 Corinthians 13, it starts off by saying, if I do all these glorious things, like even faith that can move mountains, but I'm not showing love in a way that people can understand it, then I'm nothing. Basically, that's the first part. Then the middle part of 1 Corinthians 13 is a list. This is the part that people remember the most. And in fact, we listed some of them when we listed what is real love. Patience, kindness, not proud, not dishonoring others, doesn't, you know, seek things for ourselves, not easily angered, right? This whole list. So it keeps going. But you know what? At the end, It says, love never fails. I love this in verse 8. You can see there. All of these things that we do, all of these things that we can experience, all of that ends. But you know, at the end, the only thing that remains, it says at the end, these three remain: love, faith, and hope. Love remains. So by loving others, especially those closest to us, because that's where it really, where the rubber really meets the road, right? That's where you really know if it's working out, is those closest to you. So I'd like you to read 1 Corinthians 13. So this is how my mind was going, okay? I got to get ready here. So love is patient. Well, shucks. Already not in such a good job there. Ask my children how this morning went. Love is kind. Well, that only works sometimes. Doesn't envy. Well, I'm feeling kind of envious. You know what? All I could hear was this little red devil on my shoulder. And he's shouting in my ear, you are a big fat failure when it comes to loving your children. Failure. Doing it wrong. You know that little guy who sits right here and he tells you all those lies? No, but I kind of do. So he says like this. Oh, I'm just doing this because anyways. There's another guy on this other shoulder. He's a guy in white. Remember, we're commanded to love other people. We're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. And you have to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Well, maybe this is the whole problem. Not sure how much I love myself. I don't really like myself. Do you know, of all the people that I struggle with, I probably struggle with myself the most. I know what I've done. I know what I did this morning. I know how I think. I have expectations for myself. You know, goals that aren't being met, things on my to-do list that are not getting done. I'm not thin enough. I talk too much, too focused on getting things done. Too much this and too little that. This list could go on and on. Got a list like that in your head? This is a really unhealthy place to be at in your mind, because you start thinking and believing this little guy on your shoulder. You start listening to his lies. And he's doing this. Anyways, it's not worth it. You're a failure. Look right up here. The truth says, but God demonstrated his love for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for me. He died for us. You know, he didn't wait around for me to perfect my behavior before he said, I'm going to die for you and save you from your sin. That's the love of God that doesn't have conditional love. He doesn't say, if you do this, then I'll love you. If you do that, then I'll be faithful to you. He doesn't say that. You might have heard of this guy called Gary Chapman. It's called The Five Love Languages. Another book I was recently reading is called The Five Signs of a Loving that Dr. Chapman writes, things that come in five. And I happen to have a little package of five at my house. Anyways, he says, unconditional love means that we love the individual and seek the best interest of the other regardless of their response to us. So we focus on meeting the needs of the other person without a desire for anything for ourselves in return. So I guess I would say that real love is this unconditional love, completely committed, not based on circumstance, temporary feelings, or actions, but safe. Predictable. We got this little plaque for our wedding. Doesn't quite look like this one, but this is what it said. Chance cannot change love, nor time impair, for love is more than a feeling. Love is a decision, a commitment to care forever. I really like that because I think it puts it in terms of something that I can think about. That sounds like unconditional love to me. God says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So that means that I can't just say I love you, but my actions have to match up. So think about your tone, your behavior, your posture. So am I really loving those closest to me and according to God's command, all people everywhere, with an unconditional love? As an adult, have I put away my selfish, childish love? Or am I still clinging to my old familiar habits? I'm starting to learn that real unconditional love, the way that Jesus loves, is usually the opposite of whatever I'm inclined to do. Have you heard this from God? I think he's got this kind of upside-down kingdom where he says, oh, if you want to be first, well, then you need to be last. If you want to be a leader, then you better learn how to serve others, right? This is the kingdom of God. This is what he teaches us. So when I want to hang on, real love would require that I let go. When I want to spew words of irritation and anger, real love would ask me to be quiet. When I want to be in control, real love says, let it go. And when I'm afraid, real love says, don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. Deep in my heart, I do love my children. But can they feel my love? Real unconditional love, not just this imitation love of the world. I'm afraid I've screwed this up pretty good. I'm afraid that they aren't going to experience real unconditional love here on earth. Then my mind keeps going to this verse in 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Kept mulling that around and around and around in my head, thinking, like, I am afraid. I've tried really hard to be perfect and do everything I can to the best of my ability for God, right, for his glory, but I'm just not getting it done. And this is where God, he gives us more messages. You know, he challenges us, but he gives us the answer too. He said, but it's not your perfect love, because you aren't going to be perfect. It's my perfect love. It's God's love that's perfect. I'm never going to be perfect, but we know someone who is, right? My Heavenly Father is perfectly loving. His Son Jesus was perfectly obedient, even to dying on the cross, so that I can go and live with him in heaven instead of just dying on this earth and having no hope. Did you know that when I screw up, the Holy Spirit comes to teach, enlighten, change me, and he does it in his perfect timing? The only perfect love is God's love, and when we are perfected in God's love, there is no fear. No fear of failure, no fear of evil, no fear of death, no fear at all in any way. Psalms 100 says, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. And the Lord loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of his unfailing love. These are promises. These are true promises from the Word of God. So what do you do, and how do you start making changes when you find out you have a problem? Here's another homework assignment for you. You can read in Galatians 5. It talks about this sin nature, that's our human nature, and the spirit nature. That's our God nature, right? And they're kind of at war with each other. And we really want to follow and obey what God says, but our sin nature just keeps pulling us back to the other side, the dark side, okay? And I think that this is the whole conflict between unconditional love and conditional love. So real love and imitation love. So how do you start make changes? Back to that question. Once you've identified the problem, you've moved out of denial. You can't deny that there's not a problem anymore. You've identified that's not normal. Okay? Now this is where you have to be honest. I've had to be honest with myself and realize that I'm having trouble showing love because I feel unloved and empty myself. Now this doesn't mean that the people around me haven't been loving, because they have. But it means that I'm having an internal struggle, right? I told you I'm having trouble loving myself and hearing really what God says about love. So you have to keep going back to the Word of God. We're going to go through these fast, okay? Even this morning, as I took an extra loop through town before I came to church, these are the things that I'm claiming and thinking in my head, okay? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? This is one of the verses that Christy learned early on, Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing you can say or do, who you are, where you've been, nothing can separate you from God, from His love. He doesn't treat us how our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. You know, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. One more thing that Dr. Chapman wrote that really encouraged me. He said, authentic living is not thought to be obtained by human effort, but is the result of a person's opening her life to the Spirit of God, of Christ, and allowing the Spirit to shape her thinking and actions. It is a cooperative effort between her spirit and the Spirit of God. It is not the result of isolated self-discipline. What a relief. I can never obtain perfection on this side of heaven by my sheer will. And I want you to know I have a lot of will. But I can't do it by myself. This is where God comes in. I can't use my will to become perfect. I can't use my will to love my children perfectly or my husband perfectly. But any time I do something well and good, it's the evidence that God's at work in me and through me. I don't have to love perfectly to still be used by God to influence not only my children, but those around me. Just so you know, I'm pretty much failing at this every day. This morning, just as much. But because of the perfect love of my Heavenly Father, I know what to do. I have to fill myself up. I have to fill yourself in the Word of God every day. Claim His truth and His promise in my life. Say it a million times if I have to, but I'm going to claim what God says. When I'm full of God's love, then I have something to give to my children and the people around me. If I neglect my time with God, then I don't have anything to give. If I don't sleep at night, then I'll be too tired to care for my children in the way that I should. I can't give what I don't have. So I have to get from God. I can give what's been given to me. And with His grace and unconditional love, I will learn to follow in His footsteps. I'm a mom, flawed and imperfect. At times, I'm unloving. But I'm learning and I'm growing. And it is my desire to teach my children how to really love and obey their Heavenly Father so that they can truly love others. I'm going to end by reading this poem to you that I think really, it really depicts mother's love in a way that all of us, I think, as women would echo. So it says, a mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and selfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take the love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle men cannot understand. Guiding hand. I just pray that as mothers we can take this to heart. It's not our duty, it's not our will, it's not our goodness, but it's God's goodness, His faithful, unfailing, and true love. It's His unconditional love that shows us and models for us what we should do for our families, our friends, and our neighbors.